You're listening to JTE Movie Thinks. Is that the title? Is that correct grammar? All right, we'll go with it. It's a show about movies and thinking. And now, here's your host, every man's hero, JTE.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to a brand new episode of JT Movie Thinks. Back once again. Got a good show for you guys. Got a really good show. I have the one, the only, the man himself, the man, the myth, the legend, sent by angel from heaven, Hal Rudnick.
Oh! JT, thanks for having me on the show, buddy.
Thanks you, man. I mean, like, Hal Rudnick on my show? Come on.
It's no biggie. We're pals.
And, yeah, we're best friends.
Actually, I just want to know, how come you had everyone in the Screen Junkies family on before me?
I still have yet to have Andy Signor.
Well, he's a busy man.
The thing. You know, Dan Murrow, I worked with him when I first started working with you guys.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I was familiar with him much more.
Nick Mundy on before me? What movie did Nick Mundy talk about?
Me and Mundy were like Twitter buddies before I even met Nick Mundy.
And now you're kissing buddies.
I mean, we're kissing posters of Rocky. That's probably the only thing we haven't gotten.
What movie did Mundy talk about? Do you remember?
I'm a big Stallone Rocky fan.
Yeah.
I'm just 80s fan in general. So we shared that little bit of Twitter connection.
Yeah.
Because I'd always be talking about...
But on the show.
Oh, on the show we talked about Fast Five because at the time he was engaged to his fiance.
Yes.
And he was showing her all the Fast and Furious
movies. Oh, gotcha.
Apparently
very important.
Yeah, very important. And so I knew it was probably going to be a Rock movie.
Yeah.
I thought, and it was right around the time the new one came out.
Uh-huh.
So I was thinking it might be the new one, but it was cool that we took the whole, we just kind of covered the whole franchise that episode.
Nice.
Because that's what we do.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I've had Mundy on here. I've had Dan Spence. You know, we went to Comic-Con together.
We did. We were in the thick of things, in the trenches.
Yes.
Just putting cameras and microphones in people's faces nonstop. Comic-Con, like, it is a blast. It's the best people watching in the world. But it is work. Am I right?
It is work. Like, last year, I was basically in Hall H all weekend.
Yeah.
And it was like, I tell people, have you seen Snowpiercer?
Yeah.
The lines are basically...
Great analogy.
Yeah. At one point, someone's like, I know what baby tastes like.
Calling it... that's nice. comparing it to Snowpiercer is better than comparing it to genocide, like Jesse Eisenberg did.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a bad quote.
Yeah.
You might
have to walk that one back a little bit. Yeah.
I mean, it's still fun, but the thing is, like, even though I wait in that line all the time, to be in Hall H all day, it's almost worth it.
Mm-hmm.
This year, working with you guys, we were literally running around.
Running and gunning.
Running
that's
and
what we
gunning.
Do.
Yeah, and I was just getting, like, people signing forms.
You were good. You were Johnny on the spot.
I try, you know? I try. Thank you, Hal.
Holding it down. Large and in charge.
I'm glad you noticed. But yeah, so we did the Comic-Con trip. I got to know you a little better. I thought that I was like, okay, I could ask this guy to do my podcast now.
Yeah, sure. You could ask me before that, but yeah.
Yeah,
no,
I know.
I'm excited to be here.
Everybody,
dude.
Hal is like the nicest guy in the world.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
Yes. All right, Hal. So, again, this is very exciting. I'm glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, dude.
The way the show works, it's very simple. I don't know what movie we're going to be talking about today, but you do. I want to ask the people, what was the last movie they watched? But it can't be something you had to watch for a screening or on his trailer.
Uh-huh.
I've said this to Spence and them because those guys have to watch movies every week.
Yeah.
I want something that maybe it's something on Netflix that you just happen to come across and, oh, I haven't seen this yet. I've heard of it. Or maybe it's a movie that you've seen 100 times that you're like, you know what, I'm going to pull this off the shelf.
Yep.
And watch it again. Or maybe it's something your girlfriend made you watch.
Yep.
I've had those before.
Uh-huh.
So, Hal Rudnick, what is the last movie you watched from beginning to end?
Lost Soul. The Doomed Journey of Richard Stanley's Island of Dr. Moreau.
Oh, okay. This is interesting. I've heard about this documentary just yesterday.
Yes.
Somebody tweeted about it.
I did.
Was it you?
Yes.
Okay, it was you. All right, so and the second I saw that tweet, I was like, putting that shit on my list. Because that movie is insane.
Yes.
And I love movies about the story behind the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's a disaster.
Absolutely.
So I'm guessing, so you watch this. Give me a look. I haven't seen a trailer for this.
Okay.
I really don't know like what it's like. Is it all behind the scenes footage? Is it interviews with the cast members? Like, give me a rundown of this movie.
Great. So the film is interviews with some of the cast not Val Kilmer, and they didn't get Marlon Brando.
Yeah. Okay.
Which makes it a fascinating story that you have those two giant personalities involved in this movie.
Was there archive interviews at all with those two? Like maybe around the making of the film stuff?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Okay.
But a lot of word of mouth and just stories from them about them on set.
Okay.
Primarily, what drove it was interviews with Richard Stanley. He was an indie director at the time who did two well-regarded films, independent films. And
do you remember which films they were?
Oh.
Were they like critical darlings? Were they like...
They weren't films that I'd really heard of.
Okay, so he was a true indie director.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here, I can tell you real quick.
Yeah, let's pull it up.
Yeah.
We're using our computers.
Hardware. From 1990, and Dust Devil.
Okay, yeah, like, I heard of you.
Yeah, kind of indie thrillers.
Okay.
And he was given, he wrote a script. He was enamored with this story of Dr. Moreau by H.G. Wells, The Island of Dr. Moreau.
And there is a very older film
of
this. Yes. So it's not
with Charles Laughton. If I could give everyone out there a movie recommendation.
Okay, please do.
The film Night of the Hunter, starring Robert Mitchum from the 1950s, directed by Charles Laughton, is amazing.
I've heard of this film, but I have not seen it.
It frightened me as a child. Robert Mitchum, classic actor, real tough guy, he played this maniac preacher who had love and hate tattooed on his fingers, and he's chasing these children through through like the countryside in the middle of the night. It haunts me to this day.
When you guys were kids, you were watching He-Man and G.I. Joe. Hal Rundick was watching Night of the Hunter.
My dad.
A 1950s film.
My dad gave me a classic education in film growing up.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Okay, awesome.
Which I didn't like at the time, but now I greatly appreciate. But he would keep me inside and make me watch a movie instead of going out to ride my bike, which when you're a kid, what would you rather do? Watch a black and white movie or go ride your bike?
I totally understand that. And this is funny because my father brought me to the movies all the time. It's funny to hear stories like you just said, how your father kind of educated you. Alicia Malone, friend of the show.
Yes.
Very same way. Like, her dad would make her watch all these, like, Alfred Hitchcock movies.
Yes.
That was not my case. My dad, you know, would take me to movies. He loved Rocky and all these, like, 80s movies.
Sure.
But I kind of had to discover all that stuff on my own. And I used to say, I say this so many times. While all my friends were out Saturday playing kickball.
Yeah.
I was in home watching the Fox Channel's afternoon Saturday movie.
Yeah.
And it was usually like Lethal Weapon.
Uh-huh.
Or something like Die Hard 2.
Yeah, man.
Because that's just what I would rather be doing. I was so in love with movies at the time. But I didn't really get educated to the older films until I got much older because my parents just didn't really educate me like that. So I always wonder when I hear that story. It's like, what if my parents would have like taught me? What if my parents were film geeks? My parents are not film geeks.
Yeah.
They go once in the great blue moon.
Sure.
They have no idea what I'm talking about half the time. I always thought to myself, man, what would it be like to have, like, maybe when I have a kid one day.
Yeah.
I'll probably be that kind of dad. I'll be like, you're going to watch Godfather. You're going to watch all this.
Good. You're doing right by the kid.
Yeah. So you feel like your dad definitely instilled that film geekness.
Absolutely. My father, you know what? He had like an encyclopedic knowledge of classic Hollywood cinema, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, like, you know, Clark Gable, Cary Grant, Spencer Tracy, Alan Ladd, John Garfield, James Cagney, all that stuff. So, but we digress.
Great. I just want to say real quick, check out Hal Rennick on Sklar Brothers podcast.
Oh, yeah.
He has some Sklar great stories about his dad.
Oh, yeah.
I love your dad has some stories.
He's an interesting cat.
And hearing this now just makes me think he's even more epic than I already thought he was.
Oh, cool.
So it's great. But yeah, let's get back to the movie here.
Yeah. So so this film about the Island of Dr. Moreau, behind the scenes talking to Fairuza Balk, the actress.
That's right. From The Craft.
Yes. Okay. She's interviewed.
I didn't remember she was in the movie. It's been so long since I've seen the original film. Or not the original, but this remake.
Yeah. I've actually never seen
The
Island of Dr. Moreau. And I watched this movie with my girlfriend, and we were both like, should we watch this or first or watch the movie? And then watch this. But you know what kind of decided it for me? I recently read a book called The Man Who Heard Voices, which was it's written by a reporter who embedded himself with M. Night Shyamalan during the writing and filming of Lady in the Water.
I was about to say, it has to be Lady in the Water.
I saw Lady in the Water before I read the book. I hated it.
Really?
With a white-hot, burning hatred.
Okay.
But I feel like if I read the book first and then saw Lady in the Water, I would have watched it with a new appreciation.
Interesting.
So that made me think, you know what? Let's watch this documentary, and then I'll go back and watch The Island of Dr. Moreau with new the insider's perspective.
Because let's be honest here, that movie was critically panned.
Yeah.
It's the reason why I think this documentary was made is because it's such a bad movie.
Yes.
So I can understand why you're going to get, if you watched it, here's the thing. I was one of those kids that rented pay-per-view all the time. Do you remember pay-per-view?
Oh, yeah, Spice Channel.
Yeah, Spice Channel.
Well, did you ever watch the blurred Spice Channel?
Of course. Channel? Are you kidding me? If you would have, turn your channel just the right time.
Oh, there's a boob!
It's vertical, diagonal.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I definitely... And then once in a great moon, you would get maybe 5 seconds of pure, clear boobage.
Boobage.
And it was the best. But, this is one of those movies I remember staying... I used to do this all the time.
Yeah.
I would pretend to be sick so I could stay home from school.
You little rascal.
I know. And then I would, call my mom and be like, I'm still sick. Can I rent a movie on pay-per-view? She's like, okay. And that's how I watched a lot of really good movies.
Wow.
A lot of really bad movies.
Oh, sure.
I remember one day I hit Braveheart.
Uh-huh.
I missed it in theaters.
Yeah.
And then one time I rented Barbed Wire, the film with
Pamela Anderson. Yep.
But Island of Dr. Moreau was one of those movies where I was just like, what am I
watching?
Wow,
good memory. Good memory.
Yeah, here's the thing. Because it was so long ago and the movie was so bad, I haven't revisited it.
Okay.
So I would love to do what you're talking about. I'm probably going to go watch this documentary this weekend.
Doesn't that sound like a great double feature?
Right? Then watch
the documentary is fascinating. Just the stories of what a cluster it was on the set. And you know what? And I think it's really relevant right now because so much is coming out about Josh Trank and Fantastic Four and how it seemed like he was in over his head.
Mm-hmm.
It echoes that. Okay. This is it's a really cool story to put it in perspective. Yeah.
Yeah, this is an interesting aspect. I haven't talked about this on a show yet, and I'm really glad we're going to kind of dive into this a little bit. Some of my favorite things on some of my Blu-ray special features are the documentaries and the making of the movies.
Yeah.
Jaws has an amazing documentary where Richard Dreyfuss and all these guys are telling these amazing stories about how the scene on the boat and how the first take was horrible.
Oh, yeah.
And then Robert Shaw would drink and be kill it. Blade Runner. Blade Runner has an amazing 3-hour documentary where you hear at one point the whole cast and crew became mutiny on Ridley Scott because the production was so rough and so bad and he was so meticulous with everything.
Crazy.
That everyone hated him on that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fascinating when these movies come out. Another one that comes to mind, have you heard or seen Lost in Mancha?
Oh, is that the Terry Gilliam?
Johnny Depp movie.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, you haven't?
Yeah.
Okay. I remember my teacher making us watch this in film school.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a movie that didn't even get made.
Yeah.
It was literally, they're trying to make this movie. They went out, they shot it, but everything that could have went wrong.
Yeah.
The main actor had he had some sort of hemorrhoid prostate cancer, so he couldn't ride the horses.
Wow.
And half the movie is this actor on a horse. Johnny Depp was busy shooting a couple of our movies, so they have for a specific time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they would build these sets, there would be storms or hurricane, these sandstorms would just wreck the set.
Jesus.
He's still yet to make this movie, and it's pretty famous. Terry Gilliam, it's Don Quixote. That's the movie he's trying to make.
Yeah, Don Quixote.
Yeah, and forever, and there's always rumors he's going to try to do it again. But that is a great documentary just showing how filmmaking sometimes, no matter how hard you want to make a movie or how many resources you have, you get bad luck, man.
Favorite Terry Gilliam movie?
Whew. I'm going to go on record and say I'm not a huge Terry Gilliam fan.
Gilliam.
Gilliam's Island?
Gilliam's Island. Yeah, the Skipper and Marianne.
Listen, I'm horrible pronouncing names.
I know.
Justice Spot.
Yes.
Put me on trial for it.
Oh, man. When's the return of Justice Spot going to happen?
I don't know.
Don't the fans always ask me about Justice Spot?
They want it.
Yeah.
We're looking for a trial.
Yeah.
But, Terry Gilliam?
Gilliam.
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 Yeah. Gilliam.
Gilliam.
Like Gillian Anderson?
Gillian Anderson.
From X-Files? Yeah. Terry Gilliam.
Terry Gilliam.
Yeah.
All right. I think I got it.
So you're not a fan of Terry Gilliam.
Here's the thing. I like 12 Monkeys.
Yes.
I think that's his most accessible film. Uh-huh. Got Brad Pitt playing a wacko. It has a really cool twist ending. I think Bruce Willis is back when he was actually trying to make movies.
Did you say his most accessible film?
Yeah, because...
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Look at some of our stuff, like Brazil.
Brazil is crazy. About Fisher King?
Oh, you know, I've never seen Fisher King.
Oh, Fisher King's beautiful.
That's Jeff Daniels and...
Jeff Bridges and Robin Williams.
You're right. I meant to say Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
But Jeff Daniels, different. Yeah, that's with Robin Williams. Like, that's one of those ones it's on my list of movies
it's a beautiful really film. Yeah. I haven't seen it in probably 20 years since it came out. But
would that be your favorite?
No. My favorite Terry Gilliam movie, this is one of my all-time favorite movies, mm-hmm. Time Bandits.
Oh, see, that's one of those movies. Oh, is that one of your all-time favorites of all time?
Yes! Okay. Time Bandits is like childhood joy for me.
This is weird because that's one of those movies that everyone I hear says that. Most people I meet.
Time Bandits is...
When I go to watch it, for some reason, there's this weird disconnect for me where I see it's a well-made film, but like I don't feel like you really get to know any of the characters in the movie.
Oh, I don't know. I just love it. I just feel like it's joy. Movie? Ah, you know, he's a kid. The little people are little people, journey, that rollicking adventure. Oh.
But I never really felt like, and again, I need to revisit it. It's been a long time. This is one of those movies I watched as a kid.
You've seen it. So.
I've seen it. Like, Monty Python's all throughout the movie. They all have little parts.
Yeah, John Cleese. Well, yeah, Terry Gilliam directed it.
And he did Monty Python, yes. Holy Grail. So
he's a member of Monty Python.
Here's maybe the reason why I don't like it a little bit, too. I'm not a huge Monty Python fan.
Do you not like... I'm a comedian, and so it might be sacrilege to say this. I'm okay with Monty Python. I'm not like, Monty Python, because a lot of my comedy friends are.
Totally
but this movie... I just love it. How do you feel about British films and British TV in general?
I prefer the UK Office.
Yes.
Over the American
Me
Office.
Me too.
I'm with you on that one.
Hell yeah. David Brent.
The best.
The best. The best. Oh my God.
Yes. I tell everybody, I'll take UK Office over American Office any day.
Me too. And people don't get it. Sometimes.
I love Extras. I love, especially for a movie geek, that's like Entourage, okay, Ricky Gervais style.
All right, so do you love, what do you love that's non-Ricky Gervais related?
That's a tougher question. Okay. I've tried to watch, and again, most of the stuff I've gone for is TV.
Okay.
There was a film called In the Loop.
Yes, I love In the Loop.
Love that movie.
And it's Armando Iannucci, the guy behind Veep.
Yes,
Veep is
his
show.
You can totally tell.
Yes,
when Veep came out, I just told everybody it's In the Loop, the TV show.
Good work.
Yeah, In the Loop's one of those movies I feel like not.
All right, so yeah, so you appreciate some good stuff. I mean, there's some other good, a lot of good British comedy, but okay. Time Bandits.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I guess Time Bandits again just didn't strike a chord with me for some reason. I don't know why. Like, I love dry humor. My favorite comedies are the dry humor type comedies.
Yeah, I mean, Time Bandits isn't quite, like, dry humor, but it has, like, you know, it's obviously British.
Yes.
I don't know.
What are some British films you like besides Time Bandits or stuff like that? Because that's where I'm having trouble. Like, I could name TV series, like Spaced and The IT Guys or whatever, but I can't think of, like, a lot of movies besides In the Loop, which is kind of a co-American production.
Right. It's less British films, although I like some. I like... With Nell and I.
I haven't seen that.
It's really good. David Thewlis, who was in some Mike Lee films. Naked is such a dark, brooding, weird story from the early 90s. This film Naked with David Thewlis. Do you know David Thewlis?
No.
You'd probably recognize him
if
you saw him. He hasn't been in a ton of major movies, but he's had some big roles. But... I like a lot of British TV as well, like you're talking about.
Like I say,
there's this weird science that it's like a takeoff on like an 80s science show, like Discovery or
comedy?
Omni. Yeah, okay. Called Look Around You. It's like a parody with this is going to be Greek to you, but there's this actor who he was in Guardians of the Galaxy, Peter Serafinowicz.
Okay.
He was in the scene, he was like John C. Reilly's higher up.
Okay, yeah.
In Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, Peter Serafinowicz.
Yep.
He is so funny.
Really?
So, yeah, I don't know. I think, British are often masterminds of comedy.
again, I love the Rick Gervais stuff. Space, which was Edgar Wright. Mm-hmm. Anyone, if you're a film geek, I definitely say recommend Space, because every episode's almost like kind of like Community did.
Yeah.
You know how Community kind of takes like a genre or kind of plays up with it?
Yes.
Edgar Wright did that with Space before Community did.
I haven't seen... I've only seen maybe one episode of Space.
Check it out. It's really
and
good.
And Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so good. There's a paintball episode, which is like every action movie, which again is very similar to Community. Mm-hmm. I think Community takes a lot from the whole Space kind of
TV show. Yeah, absolutely.
It's very British, very Simon, you know, Simon Pegg's very good in it, but yeah. I don't know how we got into that, but that was awesome.
Yeah, totally.
So let's get back to a little bit to the movie.
Yeah.
Some other films that come up to me is one's called Overnight. And this is the movie about Troy Duffy? Troy Duff? Troy, the guy who directed the Boondock Saints film.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
Troy Duffy.
Okay, I'm not sure.
Troy Duffy. I'm going to look it up.
Do you look it up right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here, I'm going to be the fact checker, because I've never gotten to be the fact checker on movie fights.
There you go. Troy Duffy directed the Boondock Saints.
Okay. You know what? I find Boondock Saints to be a polarizing film.
Yeah, people love it. Some people hate it. Some people hate it. It's just its reputation.
I'm not a huge fan.
It's one of those movies like everyone in college was like, you gotta check this out. And it was just the cool thing to think was cool.
Yeah.
I think there's good moments in it.
Troy Duffy,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Overnight is a great film about his two best friends were shooting a documentary while he was making the movie.
Yeah.
And this dude went off the rails. Thought he was like, you know... Picasso with a camera.
Whoa.
And like was literally fighting with the Weinsteins, burned that complete bridge. It's literally seeing a guy getting the absolute best chance to make a good movie, and his ego just shitted away.
Jeez.
And his two friends were no longer friends by the end of the movie, and so when they created this documentary called Overnight, it's if you want to know, if you have any dreams of being a director in Hollywood and want to make your own movie, watch this as a cautionary tale. Just don't do what this guy does. At one point, he's on the phone, and this guy's never directed a movie. He was a bartender in, like, Boston. He was like, I don't want fucking Keanu Reeves in my movie.
I don't want fucking Keanu Reeves in my movie.
Who are you to deny an A-list star not being in your movie? I mean...
Idiocy.
And you gotta remember, every major actor wanted to be in this movie because everyone loved the script. Wow. There's a video of Mark Wahlberg at this dude's house just chilling because he wanted to be in this movie. But because of all the shit he did, like... just tearing down the Weinsteins and not giving a shit about anybody that he was working with, everyone dropped out.
Wow.
So it went from being like, he was being positioned as the next Tarantino.
Yep.
To the point where he barely got Boondock Saints even made.
Wow.
That's why that movie was very low budget and...
That's crazy.
Yeah. So guys, Overnight, I actually let Mark Ellis borrow it.
Uh-huh.
And I think he lost it when he moved and I don't know
fucking
where it is.
Fucking Ellis.
Mark Ellis.
You know, it just came to mind totally... random tangent, but Overnight makes me think of another documentary called Overnighters.
What is that?
There was an with fracking and the oil boom in North Dakota, there was a small town that became like an oil boom town, and all these jobs opened up, but they quickly got filled. But a lot of unemployed, down on their luck people from around the country, usually like young men. With like families to support, make a journey to this small North Dakota town, but the jobs are filled and all these men end up homeless. And there's this church that has opened its doors and has become basically a makeshift homeless shelter, and the town hates that it's filled with these homeless guys and they're trying to shut down this church, and it's really controversial and it's heartbreaking.
Wow.
Overnighters. It's from like 2 years ago. Or a year ago, it might have been. I don't know if it was nominated for Academy Award, but it's a heartbreaking, soul crushing documentary. If you're into that sort of thing,
I was about to say, yeah, that's heavy stuff.
But yeah, I digress.
No, that's great. I mean, I love one of the things I love about this show is like I always get tweets from people like I'd never heard of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for bringing it up, and for me, it works for me too because I've never heard of that documentary. But I love a good documentary, man.
Oh man, absolutely.
Let's just talk about documentaries for a second.
Yeah.
I'll admit, as a kid, I didn't watch a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think, actually, like how I said earlier, how I started watching documentaries about movies, that's what kind of got me to documentary movies, because first, it's something you love. But then as you get older and you find out some of these fascinating stories, I'm just going to throw a couple that come to my mind.
Yeah.
Grizzly Man.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
No.
Yeah,
you haven't seen Grizzly Man?
I know.
Werner Herzog.
Yes.
I know I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah, Werner Herzog. Yeah, no, that was surprisingly good. Yeah. Well played.
Okay, that is a great documentary. Mm-hmm. It's about a guy who's like trying to live with the bears.
Yeah.
And ended up getting eaten, which...
Spoiler alert!
No, that's literally the opening of the movie.
All right.
You're not like watching it like, holy shit, is this guy going to get eaten? It's straight from the bat. You know that's going to happen.
Wow.
This guy would videotape himself out there, and basically he just collected all these videos and interviewed his family and friends. And fascinating documentary. Another one I'm going to throw out there is Enron, the smartest guys in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I think he even won the Academy Award that year.
Yeah.
Amazing. So well edited. And
is it the same guy that did Outfoxed? About Fox News?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It might be.
I think so.
I think I saw that one a long time ago when it first aired.
Yeah.
But what's a couple documentaries that come to your mind that you just absolutely love?
You know what? One of the first documentaries that really struck a chord in me and made me be like, wow, this is such a fascinating art form and way to tell stories and nonfiction as opposed to regular narrative films that I already had loved. One of the first ones was this film Salesman from the late 1960s by the Maisel brothers, who also did Gimme Shelter, mm-hmm. about the Rolling Stones concert at Altamont that went wrong because the Hell's Angels started killing people.
Oh, is this an old documentary?
It's from the Salesman is about door-to-door Bible salesmen.
Okay.
In the 1960s. Hmm. So these guys are trying to sell these elaborate editions of like the King James Bible.
Okay.
Very beautiful with all sorts of gold leaf and everything on it. And it's the convergence of faith and commerce because they're selling something supposedly holy.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And but they're trying to do it by any means necessary. And some of them are good at it, and some of them are hopeless. Hmm. Like, it's got elements of Glengarry Glen Ross, such a great film. So well acted.
Yeah.
So, like a who's who. But you have characters like that. You have the guys who are slick and great at it, and you have guys who are like, man, I haven't made a sale, and I can't remember. And they're at their wit's end. Such a good Bible. It's so great. Or by a Salesman.
This is a horrible connection, but very similar was the HBO documentary Pimps Up, Hose Down.
Okay.
Which was a bunch of pimps.
Yeah.
But it was a fascinating documentary because the pimps have been around forever.
Yeah.
And to see like they're still around these days and how some pimps are like all high flying and how others are just kind of low key. And they, like these Bible salesmen, they just have different ways of going around selling their women.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a despicable thing that they're doing, but... That's what I love about documentaries is you see the different side of life that you usually wouldn't see.
Yeah, man.
And, yeah.
I also love Crumb. Do you ever see...
Oh, Crumb about the cartoonist.
The cartoonist R. Crumb from Terry Zweigoff, who with Thor Birch and Scarlett Johansson.
Ghost World,
yeah.
Okay.
He directed that. That's a great documentary. And just really... Like, if you think your family... is screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a great documentary to show that, like, oh yeah, everybody has fucked up families.
All right.
I love Crumb.
And, I have not seen Crumb. I'm familiar with him. One of my favorite films with Paul Giamatti is American Splendor.
Yes.
And the Crumb character even has a. There was even a biography actually kind of like American Splendor made about him also.
I want to see if Terry Zweigoff directed American Splendor.
It wasn't. It was a husband-wife duo.
Oh, okay.
I only know this because I looked it up on Schmo's No Show the other day because we were talking about biopics. But it was a wife, husband-director combo.
Yeah, Sherry Springer Berman and Robert
Pulcini.
Great.
There you go. You know what's funny is like...
Well played.
So thank you. I mean, listen, we are recording this the night after the Schmo Down.
Oh, you had to bring that up.
I'm just saying.
JTE!
It was...
My rage immediately comes back.
It was so tough watching you because I knew you knew these answers.
I knew... Well, you know, I got the first one, the Deborah Winger. He passed to me.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I would have gotten at least... the next two, mm-hmm. and then the final one, maybe with the multiple choice.
You would have at least had enough points to make it to the final round and have a chance to knock them out.
I think so.
But listen, here's what I love learning about, especially you Screen Junkie guys. I've been around the Schmoes Know crew for a long time.
Yeah.
I know all their tastes in movies.
Yes.
I almost find, like, since I've been interviewing all you guys, Screen Junkies, I'm getting to know your movie sensibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, talking with Spencer, I'm surprised some of the movies that guy hasn't seen.
Huh.
There's a few films, like, he just had not seen. I can't recall which ones right away. But, and then Dan Merle, having that him on the show, was like, we have very similar taste. And we were,
cool.
I were just kind of like, I love getting a feel for these people like you and all these other guys, just what your movie sensibilities are. Because I never know, you are, I would never imagined. You have a very wide variety of films you've seen.
I think it
all
helps.
All the way back to the 1950s, 60s documentary stuff. It's very rare, Hal, that people bring a movie that I haven't heard of.
Huh. Well, so I think it helps that my dad, like, you know, put this classic film education on me. And then I was a film major in college.
True. Yeah. Which helps. Yeah.
So I watched a lot of movies then, and I've always loved movies.
Talk about that a little bit. Have you ever was your dream at one point to maybe direct a feature film or
not
like,
necessarily
writing?
Direct, write and act, and I'm still
so acting
I'm still
was in, always on the forefront.
Well, when I, yeah, I mean, I was in plays and I did stand up comedy in high school, mm-hmm. and I've always been into comedy. Like so, acting, comedy, writing. Always.
See, like me and my friends, when I was in film school, we just would get together on the weekends. And this is what I love about film school.
Mm-hmm.
You're surrounded by like-minded individuals.
Yes.
Just want to make stuff.
Yes.
So if you want to make a short, you call a couple friends over, you just shoot a short that afternoon, you edit it, and you're good to go. I found once I left film school, especially, it's a little different in LA, because LA you can actually find people.
Yeah.
But when I went back home for a while, like none of my friends wanted to shoot a movie. It was like to help them shoot like a short comedy skit. It was like pulling a tooth from them or something. It was just so hard.
Yep.
So
I hear you.
It's so I love about film school is just you're surrounded by like-minded people that want to do what you want to do.
Absolutely.
And they'll do it in a second.
Oh, and there's the excitement and joy of youth fueling everyone. Yeah.
Good point. So like, did you make like a lot of short films when you were in?
I made a couple, and I still make a lot of I make sketches. I do a monthly sketch comedy show.
The UCB. Yeah.
Yeah, the UCB, so where I do a ton of comedy.
How often do you actually get together and like? Shoot like a short film that something you wrote up or you know,
we used to do
some production.
So we used to shoot comedy sketches.
Okay.
Once or twice a month.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Lately, like everyone's gotten so busy.
Yeah.
That like I do a brand new, freshly written. All new monthly sketch comedy show.
Okay.
Where like we do like 15 brand new sketches every month,
or
10 to 15. That show's been running for like over 6 years.
That's the Tournament of Nerds.
Tournament of Nerds is a different
show.
Totally
different. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's my variety show that I host.
Okay.
That's nerd debates. Who'd win in a fight, Batman or Wolverine?
Yeah, yeah.
Willy Wonka or Walter White?
And one year last year you had Rust Cole from Detective, which was amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So, Tournament of Nerds. But my sketch comedy show, The Midnight Show, is the name of it.
That's what it's called, just The Midnight Show.
The Midnight Show.
Okay.
Yes.
Nice.
First Saturday of every month at midnight, UCB Franklin.
See you there, guys.
In Los Angeles.
See you there.
We're cranking out just brand new sketches. We used to shoot a lot more, but now we've.
Where do a lot of these short films that you shot live? Are they on your YouTube channel?
Yeah, no, there's a YouTube channel called. If you search The Midnight Show,
mm-hmm.
you'll find just tons of weird comedy content.
If there was one short comedy video online that you'd want people to go see, which one would it be?
School of French Kissing for Dogs. School of French Kissing for Dogs. Look it up.
That sounds
have
amazing.
Your mind blown.
Is that on YouTube?
Yep.
I know what I'm doing. When this is over, I'm immediately watching that video.
School of French Kissing for Dogs.
School of French Kissing.
You know what? I'm just going to leave it at that. Let your mind be blown.
All right. I'm not going to dive into that anymore. I want people to be surprised.
The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Speaking of French kissing bulldogs.
Yes, exactly.
These people look like animals.
Bulldog people.
Yeah.
Can I give spoilers about this movie?
Sure, because I don't think... You shouldn't waste your time watching the whole film. Go watch the documentary. Basically...
Oh, no, about the documentary, I mean.
Okay, well, you know what? Let me do a quick plot synopsis, because we haven't really told them what the movie's about.
Okay, yeah.
You got Marlon Brando, who's this really old scientist guy.
Marlon Brando, classic
yeah,
Hollywood...
Jor-El.
Jarell, Don Corleone, Stella on the waterfront. Just you
somebody.
Name it.
Oh, instead of a bum.
I could have been somebody. I could have been a contender.
Yes. He's a mad scientist who's overweight, bald.
Yes.
And he creates these hybrid of people and animals.
And
kind of like Beastman from He-Man.
Yes. So he's like this playing god with human-animal hybrids on this island.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess a reporter just comes to interview him and find out what is happening on this island.
There are people out there called furries.
There are, JT.
This is their paradise.
Yes.
Because furries are people who dress up in mascot costumes and like to have exotic
They like to get it on. Yep.
Like to get on. This is that taken to a scientific level.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that I just thought of that.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
So basically, these people, it's very much like... The makeup in this movie is pretty good from what I remember.
And yeah. This is it's intense.
They
get into it. Yeah, they get into like just how the masks being made and how seriously they took like the acting like animals.
Yeah. Think of like Planet of the Apes, the original Heston films. Like,
yeah.
The makeup wasn't that great in those.
Mm-hmm.
But they were like human hybrids of animals.
Yes.
This is like that, but with all kind of animals. They're mostly cat people, right? I feel like mostly they're cat people.
There's cats, dogs, pigs.
There were dogs, okay.
Yeah.
There were pigs too?
Yep.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. No, they interview this woman who was a pig woman.
Okay. And then there was a little dude.
Yes!
But
So this little dude was like a star in like Columbia.
Oh, really?
Or something. Yeah.
I mean, he's tiny. We're talking like
a
2-liter bottle.
Yeah,
size.
Like as tall as your foot to your shin.
Yeah.
Your foot to your knee.
Take a 2-liter Pepsi or Coke bottle. It's pretty close.
Yeah, thereabouts.
His nickname on the set was 2-liter.
Oh, really?
No, I'm joking. But so what was his deal? Do they talk about him in the documentary?
Like he was one amazing fact. So spoiler alert, the director was fired.
Halfway through production?
Shortly into production because it was just overwhelmed.
Okay.
They brought in John Frankenheimer.
Yes.
The director of The Manchurian Candidate.
In Reindeer Games.
Yes. Who at this point was like, probably in his 70s.
Yeah, definitely.
And Marlon Brando just cajoled him. And Marlon Brando basically took over, like practically rewrote the script.
Okay.
And this short little 2-liter size man was supposed to play just like a total side character.
Okay.
Marlon Brando
yeah.
was like, no, I want him in every scene with me. Marlon Brando basically chose to make this guy his mini-me. And they bring up mini-me in the documentary.
Do they really?
That mini-me might have been inspired by this mini Marlon Brando. And because Marlon Brando brought in this mini-me, an actual very good actor who was cast to be like Marlon Brando's weird animal hybrid sidekick was relegated to like 2 or 3 scenes in the movie.
Poor guy.
Yeah. And they interview him. It's
it's
amazing.
Like 8 hours of makeup and gets like 2 minutes of screen time. That's horrible.
And
2-liter didn't have to wear anything.
Oh, two-liter. He was covered in some stuff.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was covered in some
prosthetic.
White. He was wearing like a mini version of what Brando wore.
Yeah, pretty much. And if you guys watch South Park, when South Park first hit, they had a character that was basically Marlon Brando from this movie, and he had that little guy.
And it's funny that Brando was playing Dr. Moreau because they bring up that Dr. Moreau had a similarity to Kurtz from The Heart of Darkness, who Brando played like a version of Kurtz
Apocalypse Now.
There's some really fascinating things just about the story. And then about the dynamics on set. One of the mind-blowing story that is just like almost too funny to be true. They get to the middle of this jungle where the set is. It was kind of hard to get to set, and that was like another thing that really effed up production. The trailers are there. Val Kilmer's in one trailer. Marlon Brando's in another trailer. And everyone's ready to shoot, and hours have gone by. And the first AD comes, and he reports to the cast that, well, Brando won't come out of his trailer until Val Kilmer comes out first.
Oh.
And then Val Kilmer won't come out of his trailer until Brando comes out first.
What? It's like a douchebag.
A douchebag off. Standoff. Yeah, yeah, douchebag standoff. There you go. Is. How ridiculous is that?
That is like, are they peeking out through each other's windows? Like,
yep. I see. They must be.
I see the two trailers next to each other. Both back windows are facing each other, and every once in a while they peek at each other.
And one thing, I guess I'd kind of heard stuff about this. Okay. This documentary paints Val Kilmer to be such a piece of shit.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, no.
Yep. Because he was, here's a phrase I like to use sometimes. He was at the height of his powers.
Yeah, this is around the Heat time.
Around Heat, which I love. This was right around Batman. They said when Val Kilmer did Batman, so forever. He felt like he could do no wrong.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Interesting. What's your, I mean, speaking of Val Kilmer, remember Willow?
My favorite line from Willow, you are great. I don't know if you remember that.
Is that the little...
I used to say that all the time because that just... it's when the little fella...
Is it the lady?
No, the Warwick lady? Davis.
Okay, Warwick Davis.
Yeah.
Who says it?
What's that?
Who says you
Warwick Davis. Great? When Val Kilmer shows that he is...
Yes.
Excellent. Warwick Davis said that he's an excellent swordsman. Warwick Davis says, you are great.
Yeah, and he like whips a sword and falls and slips on the snow. That's that exact scene. Val Kilmer's awesome in that movie.
Yeah, he was awesome in Top Gun, awesome in Top Secret.
Top Secret, yes.
The Zucker Brothers. Great underrated comedy.
And to tie into Island of Dr. Monroe, at the end of Willow, him including everyone else gets turned into a pig. Hybrid human.
I totally forgot that.
You remember that?
Amazing.
She goes, you're all pigs. And then the whole army starts turning into pigs.
Crazy.
That was very Island of Dr. Moreau. Maybe that's why he took the part.
Quite possibly. You know what? I think that's it. Oh, just his and the casting process and like Val Kilmer pulling these power plays in the movie.
Was there any other 90s stars in the movie besides Brando? And
well, it was supposed to be.
There's one other scientist guy. I can't remember who played
it. Well, David Thewlis is in it.
Yes, okay.
Rob Morrow was supposed to be in it. I don't know if he ended up being in it. He's interviewed. He begged his agent to get him off the movie because it was such a clusterfuck. Yeah. And James Woods was supposed to be in it.
Oh, Jesus.
They tried for Bruce Willis. Mm-hmm.
If I was casting that movie, I would have just started doing some stunt casting. I would have had Michael J. Fox as a fox, hybrid, human.
I love that.
What else is there, though? Michael J. Fox is a fox.
And just bring in Shaq to be Shaq.
I'd bring in James Woods, and he'd be a hybrid of a tree. He'd be a wise tree in the middle of the woods. Like his face built in. I got to start thinking some more about that. Sharon Stone would be a stone.
Yep, Sharon Stone would just be a stone.
I mean, I don't know what other actors.
You're on fire.
I'm on fire here. I'm trying to think of all right, so I got James Woods, Sharon Stone, James Fox is a fox.
Damn it, I'm racking my brain right now.
I know, actors with animal or some sort of... essence in their name. Damn it.
Snoop Dogg to be a dog.
Yes, thank you. Perfect. Ice Cube would be Ice Cube and Dr. Moreau's, because it was hot there.
No, Ice Cube would be an Ice Cube and Dr. Moreau's Ice Tea.
Yes.
Played by Ice Tea.
Yes. We've come full circle, people.
Thank you.
there's a sketch in here somewhere. I feel like it.
You know what? Maybe in the next Midnight Show.
All right.
Yeah, inspired by JTE.
Oh, that's amazing. All right, guys. This has been awesome so far. Let's get into quick things.
Oh yeah!
This is the
woo.
That's a quick things. Woo
woo.
All right.
I'm full of noises.
That's the first. Let's go quick things. So this is basically what I tweeted out. I said, "Hey everybody, we're doing a podcast. Tell me the last movie you watched, and we'll get your quick thoughts about it."
Hell yeah!
Or thinks, as I like to say.
Like it, love it. Want some more of it?
Dan Merle usually responds. Let's see if he responded today. He's a fan. Let's see. Ba 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 ba. All right, man. You ready for this?
Yep. Throw it out.
El Duderino. At RCD Aguirre. I'm horrible pronouncing these names. I think people just... 1988's Big.
Oh, Big is a joy. Right? What a joyous film. Movie. I feel like we... And plus, I feel like there were things in there that were a little edgy for a kid, for a kid's movie.
He had sex.
Yeah, he had sex. Yeah. I feel like there's, we can't make a movie that has that that appeals to kids and adults in the same way today.
It's something that surprised me because I recently bought it on Blu-ray because they came out with like an anniversary edition.
Yeah.
I had no idea this was the first film Tom Hanks was nominated for an Oscar for.
Really?
This is his first Oscar nomination.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you would think like Philadelphia, Saved by the Lion. His first nomination was for Big.
Damn.
I feel like nowadays that just wouldn't happen.
Big's all-time joyful, joyous film.
Let's see. Let's go with...
Hot in the City Tonight.
Was that in a movie?
I think so.
Oh.
Or, no, Hot, Hot, Hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot.
I don't remember that. What
Damn
scene?
It. Oh, the limo. When he stands out of the limo, off the out of the top of the limo.
I just...
Me soul on fire. Feeling hot, hot, hot. I think it's that. All right. Anyway.
I like that. Bing, bing, bing. Bing, bing, bing.
Oh, yeah. With the giant piano and F.A.O. Schwartz.
Chopsticks, whatever they call it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is.
Chopsticks.
Another joyous movie from Dude Voices, at Dude Voices. His name's Wes. Seven.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Do you remember Seven coming out in the 90s and just like everyone was losing their mind?
Yeah. Man, David Fincher. What a mind blowing. What's in the box? And Kevin Spacey, great is he?
It's such like, a small amount of time. He's so good.
That and Usual Suspects, mm-hmm. kind of around the same time period, that exploded Kevin Spacey onto the scene as just such a great actor.
On Island of Dr. Moreau, there could be a sand pit, and Brad Pitt will play the sand pit.
Love that. Love that. Always thinking, JT. We're just going to keep going about with you. Those. And you know, the outer space will be played by Kevin Spacey. He'll look up and there's Kevin Spacey.
Spacey. All right, here we go. Jason, come on.
Voorhees?
Oforisuth. Can you pronounce that last name? The very last one.
Oh, Unprasuth.
Come on.
I don't know.
What is that? Come on, man. That can't be your real last name.
Hey, maybe he's from another part of the world, JT.
That's like another galaxy. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. This is interesting because we're not talking about Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Right.
We're talking about the sequel.
Yeah.
Where they fought death.
Yeah, they played chess. They played chess against death, right?
Twister, yeah. There's
Twister against
chess,
death.
I think chess was in there too. I think chess is what they're supposed to play because that's supposed to throw back to the film The Seventh Seal.
Yeah.
With Max von Sydow.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what? I haven't seen this one in a while.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
I've seen the first one.
You know, they talked about doing a sequel.
Oh, there's always talking
like
about
a new one, with Keanu and.
It's been rumored for like last 2 years, three years now.
Oh, who's the other one?
Alex.
Alex Winter.
Winter. Yes.
Yes, Alex Winter.
Who did a film called Freaked? Have you seen Freaked?
I'm not sure.
Do yourself a guy's favor. Go see Freaked. Alex Winter directed. Stars in it. Has Mr. T's in it.
Whoa.
Bobcat Goldthwait plays Sockhead. It's a ridiculous movie.
Wow.
Randy Quaid.
Alex Winter also directed the Smosh movie.
That's right. It just came out.
Yeah.
I was surprised when I heard that, but it makes sense because that movie kind of is like Bill and Ted.
Yeah, they go on a bogus journey.
Interesting. Yep. Ryan Thompson at Rats99, Rambo 4.
Rambo 4.
Yes, just known as Rambo. Although in other countries it was called John Rambo.
Really?
Yeah, which I thought was cooler. They should have called it John Rambo.
You know what? I just like to think about the first two.
Come on, man. You don't like the fourth one?
I haven't seen it.
What?
Yeah. Boom. There's my I am owning up.
Why?
When did Rambo 4 come out?
2007, 2008, a year or two after Rocky Balboa.
Yeah. Oh, I loved Rocky Balboa.
Love Rocky Balboa.
Rambo 4, I just did not feel compelled to see it. I wasn't in the movie review business at the time.
But were you a Rambo fan growing up?
Yes. First Blood. For me, First Blood is the best of them.
I agree overall as a movie, yes.
Yes.
Part 2 definitely takes it to that big budget.
That's like classic. America.
See, there's a tear going on my cheek because that's how awesome that was.
Yeah.
I love Rambo. I love all three Rambos. I love the third one. I even love the fourth one to a degree because it's an older Rambo. And there's a scene where he jumps on a 50 cal and he turns people into SpaghettiOs. It's amazing. Watch it for the excessive violence and just because it's Stallone doing what he does best, which is killing people.
Okay.
I'm a Stallone apologist.
Sure. Oh.
I love Stallone.
You know what? You know what, Stallone? I love Copland.
Okay.
Yeah.
Copland.
Yeah.
Good one. That's when he was trying to be like a more serious actor.
Yeah.
De Niro, good cast. De Niro, Ray Liotta.
Yep.
Tom Dagnino, also known as Bob Finstock.
Oh, yeah, Finstock.
Friend of the show. He saw Straight Outta Compton today because he said Straight Outta Compton was the last movie he watched.
It was awesome. I really like that movie.
Are you going to see it?
I saw it already.
Oh, you did see it?
It was great.
You saw a screening?
Yes. I went to a screening. It was fantastic.
Okay. Well, here's another one by Mark My Words. I'm going to see it, by the way, this weekend.
Cool.
Mark My Words at Will Mizzy. The original National Lampoon's Vacation.
Oh, that's so great, man. And
Chevy Chase is prime.
Oh, at the height of his powers. And it was an iconic film. He's at the height of his powers.
Yes, got iconic. You got iconic in the show.
I love it.
Have you seen the new one?
No.
It's horrible.
Oh. Dan liked it. Dan Merle likes the new one.
Shut up.
Yeah.
How?
I don't know.
Here's the thing. There's maybe two jokes set up in the whole movie that are kind of funny that I actually laughed at.
Merle likes it.
Bad movie.
Yeah.
He must have been under some sort of substance. I will talk to him. Next time he's on that show, I'm bringing that up.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Merle, I'm bringing you on a show again.
Yes.
We are talking about that because that's fascinating to me, how anybody could like that movie. All right, let me go some more.
And it looked exactly like We're the Millers.
We're the Millers.
I know that they fake being a family and everything, but just like the...
We're the Millers is way better.
Really?
That's how sad it is.
Jennifer Aniston versus Christina Applegate.
I'll take Aniston.
Okay. I'll take Applegate.
I love Applegate.
Wait, what kind of weapons are we using? Jennifer Aniston versus Christina Applegate in a cage match.
I was going to say, if you had boxing gloves and I had Freddy Krueger's claw, it'd be a close one.
I like it.
Okay. Here's a weird one, which movie I saw in theaters last year from James at MovieTube93, Under the Skin.
Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah. She plays a robot, right? Is she naked in that?
She's not a robot. She's an alien. Is she naked in it? The better question would be, does she wear clothes in the movie?
Wow.
She's naked about 90% of the time.
So you see everything?
Everything. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. You're going to see it now, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
Also, Tom says that Straight Outta Compton is fantastic.
Oh, yes.
Let's see. Lisa Yu, good friend of mine, at Lisa Audistry. I don't know what it says here. Can't Buy Me Love.
Oh, with McDreamy?
With McDreamy.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that was good back in the day. Oh, the woman who played his love interest just passed away.
I know, I saw that. So sad.
She was such like a teen beauty, you know? Like when you were a kid and you see her, it's like, wow, I hope I could date a girl like that someday.
Watching that movie, did you ever want to go up to a girl in high school and be like, listen, I'll give you this much money to pretend to be my girlfriend? So I can be cool.
Or that's prostitution, so yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. These 80s movies ride that line.
Yes. But I did wish I had a girlfriend in high school. I was not really in the not getting any club.
Okay. The one scene from this movie I love is when he learns to dance off like the Discovery Channel where they're showing like this African like tribe dance.
Yes.
And he thinks it's like an actual dance. So he goes, do you remember this? He goes to the prom.
Yes.
And he starts doing it and like everyone starts
Turns it to a craze.
It turns to a craze.
Yep.
Like do the hand jive.
Born to hand jive, baby.
All right, we're going to do one.
I was in Greece in high school.
Really?
And,
who were you?
I wanted to be Kaniki because Kaniki gets to sing Grease Lightning. Yeah. Go Grease Lightning, you're burning up the quarter mile. Grease Lightning, go Grease Lightning. But fuck that. I got cast as Vince Fontaine, the DJ.
Oh, that's not a bad role.
Yeah.
All
right. I wanted to be one of the cool guys.
I see the disappointment.
Yeah.
Let's do two more and we're done here.
Yeah, sure.
Trevor at Trevosaurus. Cool name.
Trevosaurus Rex.
Just saw Roadhouse for the first time.
Woo! Good man. Welcome to the club, brother. Hey, it's not too late. It's about time. Glad you joined us. Glad you joined us in the Kings of Roadhouse Worship Society.
The first radar movie I ever saw was Roadhouse.
Wow.
And it changed my life. I think it's a life-changing. I've wanted to rip a throat out since that day.
You know what? Let's do it.
Can I rip your throat out?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to do it after the show.
Yeah. Great.
So
yes, we can finish talking to the podcaster.
I actually might have to delete this because I might be up for murder after this podcast.
I might have to
sign something. All right. One last one. This is one to show with this one. Let's go. I feel bad. So many people have written.
Sure.
Norman Rad at Norin Rad III. Monster Squad.
Never seen it.
What?
Yeah. Wow. Can't end on that one.
Come on. Monster Squad? You've never seen Monster Squad?
Nope.
All right. Well, it's about a team of kids like the Goonies who gang up against the Universal Monsters.
Yeah.
Swamp Thing, whatever.
I just lost a little cred for having never seen Monster Squad.
It's okay. It's one of those movies that not a lot of people actually have seen these days. Yeah. So kind of fit with it. All right. We'll do one last one.
Okay.
Stanley Wong, a friend of mine. You might know him from 21 and 22 Jump Street.
Nice.
Great guy. He was on a show a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
His last movie was Batman and Robin.
Oh.
Let's end it with Batman and Robin. Talk about a movie. Your documentary was about a movie that was a disaster.
Yeah.
Let's end this show with a movie that was a disaster.
Yeah,
I
right?
I want to see a Batman and Robin documentary.
Oh, man. Just like there's so many.
But how excited
many...
were you for that movie?
Very excited.
When I saw that trailer, I almost lost my little mind.
Hasn't Joel Schumacher apologized for it since?
Oh, yeah. But the thing was, like, it's not like he went out to make a different movie. He made the movie he wanted to make. He wanted to make a cheesy, campy movie.
A big, glitzy, crazy Batman and Robin movie.
I mean, Alicia Silverstone, when she was at the height of her game.
Yes.
Arnold was still Arnold.
Chris O'Donnell.
Chris O'Donnell returning after Batman Forever.
Yeah.
Uma Thurman.
Mm-hmm.
As Poison Ivy. Who else is there? Even, trying to remember who else. Who played the
Clooney.
Love interest? Who was the love interest in that one, though? It was a supermodel. It was like Heidi Klum or something?
Was it?
It was a supermodel.
Elle McPherson?
Like, yes, I think you're right.
Was it Elle McPherson?
I think that's who it was.
Huh.
But,
yeah.
Let me tell you something.
What a disaster.
I'm not, you know how some people, like, watch a movie and they're like, oh, I like that, but then years later you go, I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I was just young.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was in trouble in that movie when they were playing ice hockey with a diamond in the first 10 minutes of that movie. I said, what am I watching?
Good man.
What am I watching?
See, that discerning eye was already present.
It was already there. And do you remember seeing theaters?
No.
Really?
No.
So it didn't stick out in your mind?
No. Yeah.
But you saw it in theaters. Who didn't see Batman in theaters?
Yeah. No, I just remember being terrible, just being like, just kind of heartbroken, disappointed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you felt the same way?
Yeah.
Some people, I think, like, have that phantom, we call it the phantom menace syndrome.
Yeah.
Where you're like, you're just so excited for that, you don't care that.
Oh, yeah. No. I feel like my dad showing me all these movies growing up gave me, like, just a little bit of a more discerning movie palette.
If we learned anything, people, it's that Hal Runneck's better than JTE.
I don't think we did learn that. And as a matter of fact, you're going to rip my throat out. Right after this podcast.
It's not going to be pretty because I'm probably going to have to do it 10 times so I can finally get in there and pull it out. It's not going to be like a
It's not going to be a clean death. Very painful.
It's going to be very messy. I just cut my nails yesterday,
What have I gotten myself into?
All right, Hal. Well, this is great. Thank you so
this
much.
This is so much fun, dude. I love talking movies. And yeah, you're such a gracious host. Thank you for having me on.
Nice, man. Tell them where they can find you. I'm sure they already know, but go ahead.
Yeah, make sure you're watching the Screen Junkies show on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and type in Screen Junkies. And also hit me up on Twitter, at Hal Rudnick. I'll talk movies with you. Why not? Let's have some fun.
All right, and you catch me at Schmoes JTE. Instagram, Twitter, Periscope, which I barely do anymore, but I should do. Do you do Periscope, Hal?
I barely do it.
Yeah, you did it once.
I barely do it.
I saw you do one with, like, you were doing yogurt.
Oh, yeah, I was having yogurt with my girlfriend.
Yeah, very entertaining.
Check out exciting things like that on my Periscope.
Yeah. Guys, do me a favor, listen to this on iTunes. Go ahead, write a review. Tell us what you thought of the show. And if you feel like we gave
four stars, I'm going to listen to it again right now.
If you feel like we gave you a 5-star podcast, go ahead and give me 5 stars.
No, this was not a 5-star podcast.
No.
What does it take to be a 5-star podcast?
I think have Hal Rudnick on your show.
Oh, you're kind. I wouldn't give any. I'm like, what is a 5-star podcast? Wow, that's like I feel like people are too easy with the superlatives.
Wow, you're the first person to say that on the show.
Hey. 4 stars, I feel, is great.
It is very good.
You know what? Okay, 5 stars.
Yes.
5 stars. Give him the 5.
All right. Thank you. All right, guys. Thanks so much. Tune in next week. I don't know who I'm going to have on, but it'll be somebody almost as good as Hal, probably. Maybe not.
I mean, better.
Better, yeah.
Thanks for listening, you filthy animal.
Oh, yeah. And tweet at Andy Signore. Tell him to go on JT Movie Thinks.
He's
the last Screen Junkie. It's the last guy I've
ever had. You got to complete
We're
the cycle.
Get him. All right, guys. Well, thanks so much. Thanks once again, Hal.
Bye-bye.
Have a good show. Hi.
Bye-bye.
Hi.
No, that's not my thing.